Hello and welcome to Sleeping Giants, the East Anglian Daily Times and Ipswich Stars sports podcast. It was a successful few days for ITFC earlier this week as they managed to pick up 4 points from two games which many fans probably expected would yield none at all. Have Town turned a corner or will Leeds derail their recent progression on Saturday? Our football writer Chris Brammer will cover the game this weekend and is here to discuss these questions and more with me today. So, Chris, there were worries about the February fixtures when sort of Town approached them, given their recent form, but they've showed that they can still surprise us, haven't they?
It's typical Ipswich, isn't it? They always tend to pull a result out of the bag when you least expect it. I'm not trying to say that I had any idea that they would win these games, but I always had a slight feeling that come this tough run of fixtures in February, I know fans before that were saying, oh, we're doomed and all this lot, especially after the Lincoln game, looked at the tough run of fixtures, but I just thought, you know what? Under Mick McCarthy, he's known for doing it in the past. Town aren't as bad as everyone were making out anyway, and they were always likely to turn it around eventually, and they've been able to do that.
I mean, I know Aston Villa haven't been performing particularly well in the Championship this season as well, but to go away to Villa Park, which I think when we did a survey at the beginning of the season was one of the most anticipated away fixtures for Town fans this year, and to get a win, even if it was sort of like a little bit back to the wall 1-0 win, a great boost of confidence for the team and the fans as well.
Well, it was Villa's first home defeat of the season, wasn't it? You know, this was a team that was in the Premier League last season, albeit they were pretty rotten in the Premier League, but yeah, Ipswich got the win. They defended well. They could have been a couple of goals down before they scored, but then Emir Hughes pops up with a goal running deep from midfield, which is what Ipswich have been crying out for as long as I can remember, well, ever I've been down here. You know, they've never really had that goal scorer from midfield, and he's shown that it can be done. You know, he's been a big addition to the team in the last few games, along with Diago Raga and playing in a three with Grant Ward, and it'll be up to people like him to try and improve that form, keep that form going, and get some more goals between now and the end of the season.
They managed to keep that good feeling going as well into the game on Tuesday night as well. Obviously a draw, but a very creditable performance, two goals scored, and really starting to get that feel-good factor staying at Ipswich when they go from match to match, rather than appearing and then disappearing with a poor result.
Well, I think if there's any question over the Town players fight, you just have to look at Luke Chambers on Tuesday night, and the goal is scored. He sustained a cracked rib as a result, and he looks doubtful for tomorrow's game against Leeds now. But yeah, they went to Brighton, took the lead. I thought the penalty was a little bit soft. I know there was a pull on the shirt by Hughes, but I've seen him not given before. And then after that, you expect Brighton to come at you there. You know, the second from top, they're flying, and again, it was a good, decent defensive performance by Town, but as Mick said, they had chances to win it as well. So yeah, they'll be delighted with 4 points from two games, and it takes a lot of confidence into Saturday's game. The only problem with it being is now they're going to have to change things around a little bit, because obviously Tom Lawrence got the booking, which means he's out for two games now, because he's had 10 yellow cards for the season, and Diego Raga can't play against his parent team, so there'll be a bit of a reshuffle in midfield.
We'll come on to the Leeds game in a little bit and obviously discuss the Chambers absence possibly, and Tom Lawrence being out for Leeds and the Derby match the following week as well. But what is it going to take for Ipswich to be able to carry on the performances that they've shown in the last two matches into the Leeds game on Saturday and the Derby the following week as well? What do they need to do to keep that momentum going?
I think in the position that they're in, they're pretty safe in mid-table at the moment. Yeah, the playoffs aren't out of reach and they're not quite safe from the other end yet, but it'd take a brave man to predict that you know, they're going to get sucked into any kind of battle. So I think they've got to go into these games with no fear. You know, at the start of the month, they probably wouldn't have been expected to get any points from the games. Even now, yes, they've got a draw at Brighton and one of an out-of-form Villa team, but they probably won't be expected by many pundits to get much out of the Leeds game on Saturday and much at Norwich next Sunday, although it pains me to say that. So I think they've just got to go in with no fear, keep trying to play the way they have been doing, be a little bit more offensive on the ball. Obviously, Tom Lawrence is going to be a big miss. I've worked out this morning that he's been directly involved in 13 of Town's 31 goals this season, which is quite an impressive tally. But it gives a chance for someone else to step up and be a hero, doesn't it? Especially in the Derby game, someone can write themselves into legend with a winner at Carrow Road.
Obviously, the previous two games where Town have done really well have both been away from home, and the last result at Portman Road was the 2-2 with Reading. We've said that there's more of a positive atmosphere around the team and around the club now with the positive results, but whenever Town have played at home reasonably recently, there's always been that weight of expectation on them from the fans playing in front of more than just the few thousand that make those long journeys away. Do you think that atmosphere will give Town some positive energy this weekend, or will that weight of pressure, those fans coming hoping now to see a good performance and a good result, will that weigh them down?
I don't think so. I think they needed that result against Reading prior to the two away games, and they actually got applauded off the pitch. They could have easily won that game against another team that are chasing for the playoffs. Obviously, going away, it's slightly different. The pressure's off slightly. There's not as many fans watching you, albeit the fans that probably go away are more vocal and arguably more behind you, but that's the case with any club, not just Ipswich. So I think, yeah, fans will be coming on Saturday, not so much expecting perhaps to win the game comfortably, anything like that, but they'll be expecting to see an improved performance, and I think the players will have enough confidence at the moment to be able to put that in and be able to express themselves. The mood, I would imagine, will be different from what it was maybe a month, 6 weeks ago, when players were going into games off the back of previous games where Mick McCarthy was having, you know, chants at him and calls for his head. That kind of seems to have abated a little bit now. And like I say, they've got everything to play for, nothing to lose really, you know, they're comfortable in mid-table. They could still make a late surge for the playoffs. Just go out there and show no fear and see what happens.
Now, we've known that Ipswich have had injury problems throughout the season. They're persisting at the moment as well. If you've mentioned Chambers has got a cracked rib from scoring the opening goal against Brighton on Tuesday. How big a miss is he going to be, particularly with the physical presence that strikers like Chris Wood at Leeds can offer?
Well, interestingly, Mick didn't 100% rule him out of the game yesterday, but I think it's something of a long shot to play with a cracked rib, especially against a player like Chris Wood. I think Mick admitted that the healing process will probably take 6 weeks in all to be totally mended, and it goes in 2 week cycles where, you know, it heals slightly and you can play with it through a little bit of pain. I think if needs must, Chambers would have played. I think he might sit out tomorrow, but to soften the blow slightly, you've got Christoph Berra coming back, who will relish that battle tomorrow. He is a, you know, kick it and head it centre off, uncompromising, no nonsense, and he'll love that battle up against Wood, who is a battering ram of a centre forward. We didn't see the best of him when he was at Ipswich on loan towards the end of the playoff campaign. He came from Leicester when he wasn't fit, couldn't get in the team because of Daryl Murphy's form, so he was only a bit part player. But I sensed a little bit of regret in Mick's voice yesterday that he didn't get longer to work with him because he went away, he signed for Leeds. I don't think he had the best of times last season, but certainly this season under Gary Monk he's flourished and he's scored 19 goals.
And the other player obviously that we've already mentioned who's going to miss out tomorrow and of course crucially the Norwich game is Tom Lawrence. Now, everything that's been good about Ipswich in the last few months, particularly in sort of the last few games as well, they've been really doing really well, has been what Tom Lawrence brings to the table. He's going to be a huge miss to Ipswich, no one's going to deny that. Unfortunately, the yellow cards rule is collected 10 now, so he's out for two games. But how can Town go about replacing the huge contributions that he's been making to the team?
Well, they've got options there, and they've got different options. So you take Tom Lawrence out, you could put Freddie Sears in, who's busy, you know, he runs the line well up front, he can score a goal. He's not the same type of player as Lawrence in terms of his ability on the ball perhaps, but he causes defences of problems at the same time. Brett Pittman has got a lot of guile, class, knows where the back of the net is. He's that clever player that can produce something out of nothing. Grant Ward, he's the one, at the start of the season was on fire, wasn't he? He scored the 45-minute hat-trick. Mm-hmm. Not quite lived up to those standards since, after the first seven or eight games, but he's come back into the team recently playing in the three-man midfield, so he could possibly move further forward and perhaps partner David McGoldrick. And then there's Kiefer Moore, that McCarthy mentioned yesterday, who's the obviously the lad that they brought in from non-league in January, 6'5", 6'6", whatever he is, and he definitely brings a different dimension to the team, especially when it comes to set pieces. So he could be another one that could come in and try and make a name for himself. There's plenty of strikers there that have got the chance now to come in and make themselves a hero, you know, and give McCarthy a headache over the next few weeks. Obviously, Tom Lawrence will come straight back into the team after the Norwich game. But if he's got as many strikers as possible, you know, knocking on his door saying, I need to be in the team because they're scoring, then that can only be good for him and the club.
Do you think as well that there's possibly maybe a little bit less trepidation about Tom Lawrence not being available because he's been played as a striker in the most recent few games, and the midfield has now started to look as though it's a little bit more forward thinking with the likes of Diarraga and Hughes being brought into the squad, providing the service that perhaps the strikers have missed before their arrival?
Possibly, although like I said, Diarraga's out tomorrow and Hughes did, to be fair, take a knock to his head on Tuesday, but he should be fine. So, but they've got to keep that up long term. And the slightly concerning thing about that is that the two lads that we've just mentioned aren't town players. Neither is Tom Lawrence. So I think you've got to get that sorted out in some of the club's transfer policy, whether it means the owner spending a bit more on transfer fees or players or whatever. But we can't get to a situation every season where Mick's having to rely on bringing loans in from other clubs, getting them fit, getting them firing as he's done with Tom Lawrence, and then sending them back to either be sold on for a big fee or to suddenly, you know, establish themselves at the parent club.
So we'll move on to Leeds a little bit more as well. We know they're a tough side, obviously. Ipswich have had some sort of quite interesting clashes with them down the years. They're going to bring a lot of fans with them, we think, tomorrow as well. Mm-hmm. They're currently fifth in the table, and they've had a reasonable sort of run of form recently. Their last four, a win, loss, loss and a win. Mm-hmm. Where can they be beaten? Obviously, we've spoken about Chris Woods up front, but what is the likely aim for Mick McCarthy in order to break Leeds down and score against them rather than have to worry about Chris Wood at the other end?
I think they've just got to be positive, and you know, they've got to go out like they did against Brighton and against Villa, and as I've said earlier, and show no fear. You know, the pressure's going to be on Leeds. They've not been in the Premier League for 13 years. They've been down in League One as well. They're desperate to get back up there. You know, they've spent a little bit of money in the summer. So Town have just got to try and take the game to him, you know. Leeds will probably try and play on the counter attack. They've got some pace in midfield, but if Town can take the game to him early on, then I'm sure we'll see a good contest.
And Mick was quite complimentary of Gary Monk, I believe, sort of recently as well. He obviously thinks sort of quite a bit of him, and I imagine he's looking forward to the clash against Monk tomorrow.
Yeah, he seems like he's a very good manager. Actually, read a book by Michael Calvin recently. He's lifting the lid on different managers. He goes in and interviews them, and there's a real good chapter actually with Gary Monk and the psychology that goes into what he does during the weekend on a Saturday. He's a very good young manager. I think he was harshly treated at Swansea. I think they're probably regretting that decision now. I know they're improving a little bit, but you look at where they are in the Premier League. He went into Leeds, didn't have the best of starts, lost the opening day 3-0 to QPR. First few games didn't really go for him, and there was early questions over his future. I remember hearing an interview in August, I think it was the BBC, sort of asking him about his long-term future. But since then, he's turned it around, and he just seems to have got the players on side, playing for him. He's getting the best out of his players, and he's made some shrewd signings as well, the likes of Pontus Janssen, the centre-half. Swedish centre-half's come in, and he's immediately become a fan's favourite, and I think he's brought in a couple of loan players as well, and yeah, they seem to be fitting in well, and they're doing well at the moment, Leeds.
And obviously a little bit about what Ipswich are expected to do tomorrow. I've already said they're going to have to change things up a little bit because of the players that aren't available through injury and suspension and being on loan from Leeds. Are we expecting Mick to stick with the same tactics? Is he likely to go with that sort of 3-5-2 formation with the wing-backs, or is he going to maybe go for something a little bit different because of the players he's got available to him?
Well, I did ask him specifically about Josh Emmanuel and Miles Kenlock. Obviously, they had a little bit of a tough evening, on, especially in the second half at Brighton on Tuesday night, and the story will be in tomorrow's East Anglian. And while he didn't go so far as saying they would be dropped, he didn't kind of hint at it, but he suggested that, you know, it wouldn't be a surprise if one or both of them was taken out of the firing line for a bit, simply because of the intensity of playing three games in a week for a 19-year-old and a 20-year-old that have played 20 games between them, perhaps. But given his injury problems at the moment, obviously Berra's back, but it looks like Chambers is going out, Stephen Taylor's out. It could be that with the personnel he's got available to him, he'll go for another three at the back again. Knudsen's done well at centre half, as has Jordan Spence. You know, they've been surprisingly positives for Town. I would say that they probably line up either side of Christoph Barrett, and they perhaps go with Emmanuel and Kenlock again on the wing backs. The other option he's got is to bring Paul Digby in, who's not had much of a look in since he came from Barnsley. I think he played in the game at Lincoln. Don't think he did anything that bad that night, but he doesn't seem to be in mixed plans, really, I wouldn't have thought. So the alternative is to perhaps go with a 4-4-2, which would probably see Digby come in, or Jordan Spence or Knudsen move to centre-half alongside Berra, and one of the young lads coming in a full-back position, but I think you'll stick with 3-5-2.
There we go. Well, it's certainly going to be interesting tomorrow. We've not really seen too many changes from Mick in recent weeks with his settled team, but it looks like his hand may be forced against Leeds. That is all we've got time for on this week's Sleeping Giants. We've not really mentioned Norwich much this week, but rest assured there will be plenty of pre-Derby Day build-up throughout next week, both with our podcast and stuff that we've got planned for the websites as well. Don't forget, we've introduced the hashtag MyITFCPick, which you can use to send us your photos of following the Blues home and away. We'd love to see some of those again tomorrow. You can tweet them to us and Instagram them as well. Search for us on social media and send us your pictures from the game. And of course, log on online for all the latest Blues news and reviews, as well as a live coverage from Portman Road tomorrow. Thank you to Chris for joining us this week, and thanks for listening.